And yep. Steve?
Okay.
Yes, I'm here. Wonderful. All right. Well, welcome, everybody. You were on the Smartest Telesummit first day panel discussion, getting recognized. And I just want to start with a few quick notes for those who were not on the pre-conference call yesterday. One of them is I want to correct the name I gave out for a long-distance provider for landlines that's very reasonable. You can sign up for a month and unsign after the month. It's OPEXLD, OPEXLD.com. And I also want to just tell everybody again, if you haven't put up your profile on the Inside Resource pages, please do. It's a great resource. You have an option to make it go public so that you can actually link to it from your website and the rest of the world can see that you're participating and who's participating with you. Of course, if you do not want that option, you just don't click that box. So let me just say as a preamble here how excited and thrilled I am and how excited I am to have these five panel members with me today. This is the first ever Art Career Conference online, and I think it may be the first ever Art Career Conference, period, that has reached out to embrace such a wide range of experts. And I started to think about, you know, now why is that? Why do you think that an art career conference hasn't happened until now? Well, my background is in human development. So those are the terms that I tend to frame life in. And here's what I'm seeing. Art has come up, is starting to come up through the ranks of our culture in a very different way than it ever has before. So for quite a while, artists have been on the fringe of the culture, and they've kind of liked it there. It's sort of who they are, seeing themselves on the edge. But the culture has started to change, and the whole Internet and the whole World Wide Web has sort of increased how we embrace the edge of our very selves and the culture. So we've come up as artists on the edge, and then what started to happen, oh, a couple of decades ago, is the whole concept of an artist actually making a living, gasp, from their work, started to come on the scene, and people started to think, gee, you know, I kind of like doing what I'm doing, and wouldn't it be a trip if I could actually keep doing what I'm doing and also survive? And so the whole field of art as business started to flower, and people started to jump in and provide artists with all kinds of business skills and business techniques so they could do that. And I'm looking at this as now that has taken root in a pretty fertile soil in a really good way, and I think there's a lot of people out there who are really good at helping artists do this. Now, from my perspective, it's time to take art to the next level. So now we bring artists and art up to the level of career. And why do I think this is so terribly important? Because two reasons. In our culture, we are asked, what do you do, as an introduction to each other? It is our cultural measuring stick of worth. And when you bring people into a profession, and it's called a profession, and it's called a career, it makes people sort of get a little straighter. You know, they sort of like, oh, that has validity, that has gravitas. That's something that I can see people are really into it in their lives if they're going to hold it as a profession. And so this whole idea of taking art into the professional level, I think, is critical because artists hold the vision and the truth that we are first and foremost creative beings. And so each artist, this is just my take on it, my belief, I feel has to embrace this truth internally in order to start to change and contradict the cultural messages that have been, you know, sort of plaguing artists for so long that are negative, to embrace this deeper place that artists, yes, you put your art in the world as a vision for all of us to see, but as you do that, something terribly important is happening. You are actually showing us and everybody in the culture the truth and deepest validity of us all as creative beings. And it reminds me of Teilhard de Chardin's wonderful message many, many years ago, that we are not human beings trying to be spiritual, but we are spiritual beings in human cloth. That's a little reworking of my own, but that's the essence of what he has to say. So with that, I want to introduce the experts on the panel today. We're going to talk about getting recognized for your art. And yes, there's a little blurriness here between getting recognition and getting paid and how those two flow back and forth between each other. So there will be some blurring of lines, but for the most part, that's where we're going to stay. And what I want to do is tell you quickly before the introduction, this is how the panel's going to go. I'm going to introduce them. Then there's going to be a question of the day that each panel member is going to get to respond to briefly. And then there's going to be a two-minute challenge where there's an individual question being posed for each panel member. And at the end, there's the hot seat, where one artist has agreed to let his or her story be told, and we're going to get the panel's response on that. So first, I want to greet Joan. Hi, Joan. How are you?
I'm great, Ariana. It's great to be back with you.
I know. I just love having so much airtime with you. I feel really privileged. So Joan is someone, if you don't have a penny to spend on advertising and you want the world to know about your artwork and your art business or that you're an art expert in some area, Joan is the woman to know. As a publicity expert and a media relations consultant and a professional speaker, she shows people how to use the media to get their credibility out there, to establish it, to enhance their reputation, position themselves as expert, and sell more of their products and services. Her free publicity campaign started quite early, at age 10, when her hometown newspaper wrote a story about a blue ribbon she won for a 4-H sewing project at an Ohio State Fair. And from then on, the girl was hooked on publicity. Today, Joan teaches publicity hounds how to catch the attention of frazzled news directors, busy reporters, and grumpy editors. And she should know how to do this because she was a grumpy editor. She worked at three daily newspapers and the Business Journal in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And she has an extraordinarily popular internet newspaper. And when I read this number, Joan, I tell you, I just have to go, phew, every time. She has 20,000 subscribers. And for all the artists listening online today, part of this career conference is going to let you know about why that is so darn important and how you can do that, too. She has the Publicity Hounds Tips of the Week, which is one of the best publicity tips and good, clean dog jokes, one per issue you're going to find anywhere. And she lives and tries to stay warm, and I bet especially this year, Joan.
Especially
today in Port Washington, Wisconsin. Joan, welcome. I'm so glad you're here.
Oh, I'm so happy to be back.
Steve White, hi.
Hey there. I just had to turn myself off mute. Sorry. How you doing?
Steve has worked with a variety of arts organizations, including Carnegie Hall. These are all like biggies, everyone. Alliance for the Arts, New York City. The Cathedral of St. John the Divine. Oh, my gosh, do I love what goes on there. And the Tchaikovsky Chamber Orchestra. In 2000, he funded growthcommunications.com to empower small businesses to succeed on the Internet. And I love this little caveat he has here. Without being held prisoner by a webmaster. He started Growth Communications and has been involved in marketing and development for sitesforart.com, artistcube.com, and dozens of other small businesses that include artists, photographers, illustrators, designers, and musicians. And he speaks extensively to audiences about the Internet, in person, on radio, and online. Steve, I am so glad you're here today.
Thanks for having me, Ariane.
Susan Graves, are you with us? Oh, my goodness, this is a little bit disturbing. I wonder what has happened to the dear soul. All right, well, Adam, you're here, right?
Yeah, how are you, Ariane?
Hi, I'm pretty good, outside of worrying about Susan. I'm hoping nothing. No, really, I'm serious. You know, I always think when this happens and we can't reach people that something, you know, really dire has happened, and until I find out it sort of, you know, kind of sits on my shoulder. But I'm glad you're here. Adam has been the Director of Member Services with Fractured Atlas since December 2005. Now, Fractured Atlas is a really amazing nonprofit organization that has come together to give artists collective voice in different areas. Not the least, and I know one of the most difficult, is health insurance. But they also work with educational things, getting grants, and other areas that they can help artists to survive better. So he's been working with them since when?
Since December 2005.
Great. And he also worked with the theater and musical theater disciplines at the National Endowment for the Arts. At the NEA, he worked on national initiatives as the Shakespeare in American Communities and American Masterpieces. He's designed presentations for the National Council on the Arts. He's adjudicated grant applications for international programs as well as for the Coming Up Taller Awards. And he's worked alongside scores of theater, musical theater, literature, and folk, and traditional arts professionals with grant approval panels. Since joining the staff at Fractured Atlas, he spearheaded a pilot program known as the Greater Washington, D.C. Artist Health Insurance Advocacy and Awareness Campaign. Now, I'm just going to take a little side thing just to say to the artists that one of the really tricky reasons health insurance is so difficult to pull together in one under one umbrella is that every single state has its own rules and regulations. So this is a huge initiative with a lot of work going behind it. And they're started out in Washington, D.C. Adam, I'm so glad you're going to join us today. Thank you for coming.
So glad to be here, Aria.
And the next panel member is Molly Gordon. Hi, Molly.
Hello.
How are you today, sweetheart?
I'm great. And as soon as you introduce me, I've got Susan's number, and I thought I'd give her a jingle.
Oh, you are an angel, always. That will be great. I would love to have you do that, please.
Yep.
And there you go, folks. That's Molly for you, right there in action. She is an internationally recognized master certified coach known for her work helping accidental entrepreneurs. And I have to imagine most artists would consider themselves, without a doubt, an accidental entrepreneur. She bridges the gap between doing the work that you love and making a living. And her clients range from artists to professionals to nonprofit and governmental organizations. And from my perspective, the woman is equally brilliant at all of those client audiences. She's the creator of Authentic Promotion, Grow Your Business, Feed Your Soul, a mind-body-spirit approach to embody a prosperity based on service, purpose, and lifelong learning. So from that description, folks, you can see that Molly works deep. She works deep, but at the same time, she's funny, she's sassy, she's down to earth and extremely accessible. And that is a hard combination to beat. Okay, Molly, thank you for coming, and go ahead, see if you can reach dear Susan.
Great. Thank you, Ariane.
Most of the questions that I'm going to ask these great panel members today, they came straight out of your vision questionnaires that you filled out. Oh, my goodness. Can I tell you how amazing some of these have been to read? And I think some of you are still still filling them out. I hope you continue to do that, even though the conference starts. We really want that vision statement from every artist, not in the least because for you to put that down is extremely important. One artist wrote and said, oh my goodness, I'm surprised at how difficult this was to actually do this. There are questions that look easy on the surface, and for some of you, I know they're going to whip off the answers, but for others of you, it makes you focus in on and really put a name to the vision and why you're here at the conference and what you're going to get out of it. And naming things has such power and such gravitas that I really encourage every one of you to do it, to give yourself that chance. So we're going to start with the question of the day. Panel, are you ready?
Ready.
Okay. Imagine yourself as an artist, and you've just finished a body of work and are ready to get it out in the world. Describe your strategy for getting it noticed. What steps would you take to get recognition, and from whom? Joan, you want to take it away?
Oh, I had to be first, didn't I? I was hoping you wouldn't call on me first. But I'll go.
Well, I think I didn't actually have you first, but somehow that little piece did not get on my list. So if you don't mind.
That's okay. It is. I knew I was first, Ariane. I'm just
Were you really? Because I'm just noticing I don't have that down, that order.
That's okay. I should preface this by saying that I am not an artist who sells my work. Okay? So I
was asking you to do an imaginative exercise.
Okay. So here's what I would do. I think the most important phrase in the question is get it out in the world. Okay, I want the whole world to know about what I've done. So what I'm going to do is I'm not going to go out looking for people to show my artwork to. What I'm going to do instead is I'm going to create a huge online presence for myself so that people who are looking for the kind of artwork that I created can find me online.
All right.
And I have 9 ways that I would do that, and I'm going to tick them off one by one. I'm not going to be able to give a lot of explanation to each one. I'm just going to do it real quickly.
Okay, I'm going to remind everybody at this point that, you know, if you're trying to take notes, don't panic. This recording will be uploaded by tonight, and you can go back and get whatever you missed. Go ahead, Joan.
Okay, here's how I'm going to create a huge online presence for myself so that people can find me. Because remember, I have no idea which people out there might be interested in my artwork. I'm going to let them find me, and here's how I'm going to do it. I'm going to set up a profile of myself on MySpace. I'm going to go over to YouTube, that's YOUTUBE.com, and I'm going to start uploading videos of me showing my artwork and perhaps talking about it, short little videos. Number 3, I'm going to start selling my artwork on eBay. Number 4, I'm going to start blogging about the kind of art I sell. Now, I am, Ariane, a needlepoint artist. But I don't
do needlepoint.
I'd stop doing needlepoint when I started my business 12 years ago. But if I sold my needlepoint, I would start a blog on needlepoint. Number 6, I would write articles about the kind of artwork I create or about the topic, and I would post them to online article directories. The next one, I would comment at other people's blogs, people who also blog about my topic. I would post comments to their blog entries. I would write and distribute press releases online about my artwork. These are press releases that can be picked up by the Google and Yahoo News feeds. Next, I would go over to Amazon.com, and I would start reviewing books, reviewing other people's books that are written about my particular topic. And finally, I would make sure that I have a dynamite website that has my artwork on there that people can see, an artwork that really gives people a good idea of what I'm all about, because you have to have a great website before you start to do all this other stuff. So that's what I would do.
Whoa, Joan, I'll tell you, I think that was worth the price of admission right there. Thank you, dear. That's great. Steve, your expertise is so wonderful on this. Can you give us a hint of what would you do to steps to take to get recognized and from whom?
Well, Joan kind of pulled the rug out from underneath me, Ariane.
She has a way of doing that, doesn't she? We're talking comprehensive woman here.
Well, it's kind of interesting to hear the response because all of these are Internet-related, and what's clear is that the Internet is extremely important to get recognized and to get out there. But I think what Joan did is give a really good summary of a lot of the ways that you can begin to get traffic for your site, building links into your site and that kind of thing. So I don't need to say any more on that. But let's think about what other things you might have in hand. That, let's say you do have a website and you do have an email list, and a lot of people don't really work with these things. If you've created a new body of work, you've really got to create a space on your site for that new body of work. In other words, have a gallery and really promote it and say, this is my new work. And don't just post the images of it, but give an idea of what was the impetus for this work. Tell the story behind it, so that people become captivated by what you're doing. And let's assume that you have an email list. Let's say even if it's as small as 50 names or something like that, you've really got to figure out how to send out a picture of one representative work to that list and say, see the rest of the gallery at my website. So you link to your website there. And the idea is not to present, what you're trying to do as an artist is create an event. You know, when you create new work, you say, it's out, you know, here it is for you to see. And so you're going to send that email out to your group of people and get them excited about what you're doing.
Yeah, absolutely.
And when they get to your site, you don't want to just have the same stuff on your site. It says, oh, well, you know, I went to your site 2 years ago, and it was great. But that's typically what happens is people go there once. But if you make your site interesting, it's like when you get a new work, you get it photographed, and you have a way of putting it up on your site. And that's why I say to people, you've got to be able to maintain your own site. There's so many tools out there now, so you can create a new gallery by yourself without paying money or anything like that. Just put your picture up there, get the gallery going when you have something like that happening.
Great, and you're going to give us more of that specific information when you do your presentation, right?
Yep.
Great. Steve, thank you. That's a great spinoff from Joan. You really went in. You went deep this time. That's so good. So let me check in and see. Is Susan with us? Molly, are you back?
I am. Her line was busy, and I could ring off and fax her.
Okay. You want to give it a try? Does she have a fax number?
She does.
Okay, yeah, I'll let you do that, and I'll bring you in at the end of this anyway, and we'll go with Adam next. How's that?
Excellent. Thanks.
Thank you, darling.
Bye.
Okay, Adam, you want to get recognized. What steps are you going to take, and who do you want to get recognized from?
Well, here at Fractured Atlas, we're all about resource sharing and finding the resources that are out there and treating yourself like a business, art as a business, like you said earlier on in the conversation in the introduction. So first off, you have to find those local resources in your area. There are tons on the web, just like Steve and Joan were talking about, and those are all great. But also remember, you can't just post. You need to start finding how to drive people to those websites.
Adam, could I just stop you for a quick second,
mm-hmm,
my dear?
Yeah.
Are you by any chance on a speakerphone?
I'm actually on a Bluetooth. Is it coming in like a tunnel?
It's coming across with a lot of echo behind you.
Okay.
Is there any way to correct that?
Let me try. How's that? Is that any better?
A little bit. Maybe lower your voice volume just a little bit, and that'll help.
Okay. I just did.
Okay. Go ahead.
So sorry about that, everyone. So definitely check with your local arts councils. Everyone has a local arts council, whether it's on a regional level, a city level, or even a state level. Check out their website. They always have a lot of resources on their website, and if you can't find anything there, give them a call. Don't be afraid to call them. Don't bother them repeatedly, and don't ask for grants immediately, but definitely give them a call and find out what resources they offer for artists like yourself and use those resources. Then start networking. Go online. We were talking about MySpace earlier. Go online and see if there are any other artists in your area that are producing work that's similar to your own and that might be willing to talk to you, that maybe they have methods for getting their own work out there. Form that network. Their patrons can become your patrons. You can develop your mailing list that way. Never get discouraged with you're trying to contact people and they're not receptive. Just keep on trying. Even one connection can double your resources. And don't forget that just like MySpace, you have friends of friends of friends, and someone might work at a local arts magazine or someone might work at that local arts council who can really help you and help you develop your work, so make sure to use everyone. And if you have, you know, a little bit of money or if you have no money, definitely think about publicity and PR. You know, Joan's organization is one of those such companies. So if you're willing to contribute a little bit, always remember marketing is such a great thing. But just check out those resources, and those resources can really develop your work and get it out there to a mass audience, and make sure you're always using your connections through whoever is in your network, and make sure you're always building that network.
Wow, Adam, I am just so excited because you've brought in an entirely new perspective that I simply have not heard anyone else elaborate on, and I think it's so important, and I'm just so glad you're with us, I can't tell you.
Thanks so much, Ariane, and how's my voice? Is it better now?
It's a little bit better, yeah, definitely.
Okay,
thank you.
Yeah.
So I want to find out first if Molly came back. Did you, darling? Nope, she's still not with us yet. Good soul that she is, going to try to figure out what's up with Susan. So we're going to move into, we finished the question of the day. We'll give Molly a chance to answer that when she comes back. We'll sort of break into the two-minute challenge. But let's move on now to the two-minute challenge, where each one of the panel members is going to get a very specific question and respond to it. So, Joan, lucky you, you get to be first again.
I'm up for it. Hit me.
If there was one thing that would make a 75% or bigger difference in getting my work known and selling, what would that be and how do I do it?
That's a tough question.
I thought it was, too.
Tough question. I'm going to go back to the Internet, and I'm going to refer to something that Steve mentioned a couple of minutes ago about an email list. And here's what I would do. I would first start to blog about my topic. And the reason is because the search engines absolutely are in love with blogs. And I'm going to use a quick example of how I would do that. We have somebody on the line who checked in during the introduction, and her she's an expert in baskets. Her medium is basketry. If I were her, I would start blogging about baskets. And here's what I would write about. I would talk about the uses for baskets, how to decorate with baskets, how to make your own baskets, baskets from other countries, the history of baskets, antique baskets, how to customize a basket, how to use baskets to stay organized, how to use baskets in your office, etc., etc., etc. What that blog would do is it would pull in the traffic through the search engines. At my blog, I would have a sign-up box for my electronic newsletter or my electronic tip of the week. I would use that electronic tip of the week or the e-zine to push out the marketing message to the people who have basically raised their hand and said, yes, Joan, I want you to market to me every single week. Okay, so the blog pulls in the traffic, the e-zine pushes out the marketing message, and that pull-push cycle is extremely powerful. That's what I did with my own business, and today I have a list of 27,000 people all over the world who have raised their hand and said, Joan, I will let you market to me, as you know, once a week through your electronic newsletter. A lot of these people are people who never knew I existed. The only way they found me was they were using Google one day, and they were searching for some free publicity tips, and they stumbled across my blog. So that's what I would do. I would use a blog in conjunction with an electronic newsletter or a tip of the week.
That's great. I just want to jump in here and let the artists know that when I do my presentation on websites, I'm going to be talking about that what Joan is calling a newsletter, because I know that artists do not think of themselves as somebody who can do a newsletter, because they immediately think, oh my gosh, I have to write something every week, and they get very panicky. So I just want to reassure you that there are ways to do what Joan is suggesting, that you don't have to write every single week and you don't need to panic. All right, let's move on here to Molly. Are you back?
Yes, I am, and your assistant also reached me and said that Susan's on the line, but she didn't have the moderator code, so when you want to, you can unmute, and
give her the code?
Yeah.
Okay, hang on, everybody. I'm going to do that right this second. Hold on. Hello, Susan?
Yes.
Oh, my dear, you poor thing.
I have been desperately, but your assistant helped me calm, and we're finally together.
So here's the moderator code. You'll have to sign off and sign back in with it completely from the beginning.
Okay.
1442 pound.
1442
pound.
And that's the PIN number.
That's the PIN number. And then you just call the same number, 646.
Right.
519. 5883.
I'll be back in just a minute.
Okay, and just when you come in, so we know you're there.
Okay, I'll do
okay,
that.
All right, great. Bye-bye. Thanks, dear. I'm going to mute everybody back.
Do I get to peep, too?
Oh, gosh, Molly. So, darling, the one that we sort of moved into the two-minute challenge to give you a chance there, but let's scoot back to the question of the day and get your take on, you know, you've just finished a body of work and you're ready to put it in the world, and what's your strategy for getting it recognized?
Well, you know, the strategies that we heard are really excellent. So what I'm going to address is something a little different, and it actually connects to the two-minute challenge. What I find is that very often the reason that artists don't promote their work isn't that they can't find out how, it's that they don't believe that they can do it in any way that will be both effective and palatable.
Ariane, Susan's on now.
Excellent, sweetie. Great. Oh, I'm so glad you're here, and I'm so sorry you had trouble.
That's all right.
All right. So what's happened? Let me just catch you up. Or were you listening so you're caught up?
I missed big chunks of it.
Okay. So what happened was, I'm sorry, Molly, to jump on you here. We're doing the question of the day, and Molly's giving her the question about you're an artist and you have a body of work.
Okay,
so Molly's going to finish her take, and we'll get your take on it, okay?
Good deal.
Okay, thanks, Molly. I'm sorry. Go ahead, darling.
Absolutely. So if you don't believe that there is a way to promote your work that is both effective and palatable, congenial to you, you're not going to learn all the wonderful ways that are out there.
Mm.
And so a lot of my work is around helping an artist realize that the problem with promoting their work is between their ears. And that problem goes all the way down to their toes. Because when you have a belief that is so ingrained that as far as you can tell it's just the truth, your whole body holds it. And this is why we see so many artists at openings huddling in a corner. Or being brusque, or having hurt feelings. There are many emotions that go with showing your work that are not inevitable, but there's a culture around promoting art that says they are. So my strategy would be first to write an artist statement, because that's going to bring up a lot of my stuff. I'm not going to just write it for me. I'm going to write that artist statement as if I could really communicate with someone who cared, who also didn't know or understand my work. This is another error artists make. We think if they care, they'll get it. Wrong. So I'd work on an artist statement, and you've written a book about it. I have a brief process on it. Go in and make this really yours. Tell your story. Discover for whom you made this work. Did you make it just for yourself? If so, may I respectfully suggest that nobody needs to pay you for that. You know, you're welcome to make things just for you, but there's nowhere is it written that we owe you a living if you do that. So I'm not suggesting you dumb down your art or popularize it in any artificial or inauthentic way. I am suggesting that you really take the time to connect with the world around you, for whom you're speaking when you do your very important work. Feel that connection and develop your commitment, a felt commitment through your whole body to do your part to keep that relationship, that connection alive. And then go to work marketing yourself using any number of proven ways. And the refinement I would put on this is something called the rule of three. This is a way to simplify. You can have a marketing plan in one paragraph. For an artist, I would first find something unique about my work, and I'd talk to other people to get these attributes, by the way. Something unique, something inviting, and something mysterious. And then I would use three methods of telling the world that there is something unique, inviting, and mysterious here. And for me, it would probably be press releases, a web presence, and vivid pictorial communication,
postcards, real-life snail mail, email with photos. And then I would repeat that over and over and over again, because you may be bored with your promotional efforts. We're not. So that's what I do.
Excellent, Molly. I'm so glad that you took it to that level, because as you know, that's the level I resonate with so well, too. Thank you, dear. Susan, oh, I'm so glad you're here, and I just feel so badly that somehow that little piece of information got missed for you.
That was just a bump in the road. We'll
all right, darling. So what's your take on this, imagining yourself as an artist, which you are, not much imagination needed there, huh, and getting it noticed in the world, getting recognition?
Well, of course, I'm talking about my own experience and the way it has developed for me. But for someone selling on eBay and on the Internet, especially if you present yourself as a professional, it really is possible. It takes time to build, but is overnight success really possible? But if you had Internet exposure, it takes less effort to present this new work, this new thing you want to get out to people. First, if I weren't selling on eBay, I'd go to the search engine like Google and enter search terms that describe this new body of work, such as metal sculpture or wildlife photography or even California landscape, and just use any term that can be applied to the work or its style, and or even you can enter the names of other artists that work in the same or do similar pieces. This will lead you to galleries, museums, websites, and so on that would be interested in that kind of work. And then you can go from there and do what all your other experts here are telling you to do. But since I've sold on eBay and on the Internet as well, I can turn to that emailing list. That's just the most valuable thing you can develop. And I can present my new work to collectors who just love my paintings and are receptive to that kind of approach, that email or online approach. Very often, I sell new pieces without any added expenses, just by sending that email and making it easy for them to purchase directly from me. I save commissions, framings, even shipping charges, because my eBay customers are conditioned to paying those shipping charges. That's how I'd approach it.
Excellent. Thank you. Oh, my gosh. I can't believe how full everybody has responded to this. I'm almost wondering why we need the rest of the telesummit. Okay, so let's go to the two-minute challenges. And this literally we're going to have to do 2 minutes, panelists, because we're going to run into a time issue if we don't just kind of whip through these. So, Joan, we had yours. Molly, here's one for you. An artist wrote saying she has fear around getting known and being seen. How do I turn that around?
Such a great question. The very first thing I would do is make space for the feelings you want to get rid of. Maybe you've noticed that feelings you want to get rid of don't leave. Never have, never will. And the simple remedy is to sit with them and literally feel the discomfort in your body and imagine, you know, breathe into it and imagine that you're making room for those feelings. They will not take over. Let's face it, they've already taken over. You know, by squeezing them down, resisting them, worrying about them, they're running your promotion. They're running the way you're seen. When you make space for them, they don't have to work so hard. It's paradoxical, and it really works. So that's one way to work with your feelings in your body. Secondly, it's not about you. It's about your work. It's not about you being seen. It's about your work being seen. So make a decision. Do you want it seen? And if you do, then be gentle with yourself, but don't let yourself off the hook. It's as if you're a parent. You do a lot of things when you're a parent that you might not prefer to do, but you do it for the sake of your child. and you do it for the sake of the family and the community. And as an artist, if you believe you have a sacred trust to do the work you do, I believe you have a sacred commitment to get it out in the world. So really take that in as best you can. And here's a real power tip. Study the people who are comfortable promoting their work. These are people you've seen. They may be people you imagine. They may be people on TV or in novels. And then imitate them. This is not about being phony. This is about studying effective bodily presence, just like a martial artist. So take on the posture of the artist who is so powerfully present at their opening, and then go inside and ask yourself a question like, how could this be true for me? Or what am I thinking that makes this phony? And is that true? And just work with it. And obviously, I would suggest you do this in your living room and not at an opening the first time. The real truth about every aspect of promotion, I believe, is that it's incredibly simple. And because the feelings related to it are so strong, sometimes we refuse or can't allow ourselves to do the simple things that will turn it around. Because if it feels this crummy, there's got to be a complicated remedy. And I've never known a complicated remedy that works.
Excellent, Molly. Thank you so much. What depth, hmm? Susan, my dear.
Yes?
If you want a guaranteed way to promote work to qualified collectors, what do you think would work best?
Well, what worked best for me was first selling on eBay and building a collector base there. As I did that, I accumulated that emailing list and eventually found a service that manages emailing lists and small and email promotions and used a lot of their ideas and services. Then I expanded with a website and later a blog. The website reinforces and validates my status as an artist and lets people know get more information about me. And the blog pulls in a constant flow of potential new collectors, as do my eBay listings. Since buyers sign up for the emailing list voluntarily, they're already predisposed to buying my work. So that's how it works for me.
Excellent. Thank you so much. I can hear this theme, you know, that's really starting to become a drumbeat here. Website, blog, and I just want artists to really take that in, and we'll be saying lots more about that afterwards. Joan, here's one for you. As a way to get recognized, says this artist, I have advertised in American Artist magazine, among others, but I feel that I'm up against a lot of big-dollar advertising competition. What can I do to stand out?
You know, I read this story, this question, and I am not familiar with American Artist magazine, so I went online to look it up. And correct me if I'm wrong, Ariane, this is a magazine for artists. Is that correct?
Correct.
So I have to ask the question, why is this person advertising in a magazine for artists?
Well, that's a good question, and I think that this comes under the whole heading of doing your research. And even though this is a magazine for artists, is it in fact also used by collectors to see what's new? I can't answer that question, but the person who decided to advertise in it should have asked that question and should have done the research to find out, correct?
And,
am I correct?
Yeah, absolutely. And because I am the publicity hound and because my expertise is on how to get free publicity, I would just save your ad money. Whoever
yes.
is buying an ad and is not getting results from this magazine, save your money. You don't need paid advertising to sell more artwork. I mean, just listen to all the things we've talked about already. 45 minutes into this call. We've ticked off probably about 24 things that you can do. Are they time-consuming? You bet they are. Do they work? Of course they do. And as somebody earlier said, you know, online is the place to be, because if you can get free publicity for yourself online, it will live on forever.
Right.
Once you're online, you're there forever. And I just want to add a quick postscript about blogs, because I can almost hear everybody groaning. I don't know what a blog is. It's too technical for me. I just wish that it'd go away. I was the same way 2 years ago. I just wished blogs would go away. I didn't want to have to learn them. I didn't want to have to start writing them. They were too time-consuming. And so I was pulled kicking and screaming into the whole blogging thing. And I can tell you that, boy, does it pay off. When I see the traffic at my blog every month, I about fall off my chair. So don't fight it, folks. And during the telesummit,